In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
I'm going to do something different today. I got an inspiration the other night, and I'm going to follow that inspiration. I was just talking about being led on WEZE, and I hope in the name of the Lord I'm being led. I'm looking at Matthew 7, verse 24 to the end, and it says, "Anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on rock. When the rainy season set in, the torrents came, the winds blew, buffeted his house, and it didn't collapse. Why? It had been solidly set on a rock. Anyone who hears my words but does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sandy ground. The rains fell, the torrents came, the winds blew and lashed against the house, and it collapsed under all this, and it was completely ruined." And Jesus finished this discourse and left the crowd spellbound at his teaching. The reason was that Jesus taught them with authority, not like their scribes. And so, anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the man, the wise man, who built his house on a rock. The words that Jesus is talking about are the words from the Sermon on the Mount. The rains are going to come, and the winds are going to blow, that's for sure. And, you know, we need to build our home first upon not the words of Jesus, but the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus. Because more than the Sermon on the Mount, it's the man on the Mount. So anyone who follows my words and builds their house on me, when the winds come, nothing's going to happen. When the storms come, nothing's going to happen. So I'm going to start reading from the Sermon on the Mount. These are the words that we need to build our lives on as we build our lives on Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside, just like Moses. And after he had sat down, his disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the reign of God is theirs." Yeah, blessed are those who are in absolute need of God. The reign of God is theirs. Are you in absolute need of God as I am today? Then the kingdom of God is yours. "Blessed are the sorrowing, they shall be consoled. Blessed are the lowly, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for holiness, they shall be satisfied. Blessed are they who show mercy, mercy shall be theirs." Do you show mercy? Are you a merciful man, a merciful woman? Mercy will be yours. "Blessed are the single-hearted, they shall see God." Oh, Lord, make my heart single-hearted after you, that I would not defame you in any way. Make me single-hearted, oh God. "Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God." "Blessed are those persecuted for holiness' sake, the kingdom of God is theirs." "Blessed are you when you are insulted and they persecute you and utter every kind of slander against you because of me. Be glad, rejoice, your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets before you in the very same way." The Lord does not promise us cancer, though cancer comes because we live in a sick world. But let us proclaim this place as a cancer-free place in the name of Jesus. Let us proclaim everyone who hears my voice in the name of Jesus as a cancer-free place in the name of Jesus. The Lord promises us his kingdom. The Lord promises us that he would be with us. But he also promises us persecution. Persecution is something that is promised by the Lord. That is what everyone should expect if they're following Jesus. That people will not understand us, that they'll think we're weird. You know, how many times have I been thought to be weird? But you know what? Persecution is one of the greatest elements that hurts God's people, and that's when people compromise because they want to be like everybody else. Can I tell you today, don't be like everybody else, because you were made to be who you are, a bright and shining light on a hill in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And if persecution comes, rejoice! I know it's hard to rejoice, but rejoice anyway. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven. For thus they persecuted the prophets before you in the same way. So I'm going back now to that seventh chapter. Anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on a rock. So we continue. These are the words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt goes flat, how can you restore its flavor? Then it is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Yes, you are. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Oh, we hear so often the politicians calling the United States a city set upon a hill. But I'm telling you, we are no city set upon a hill when we omit Jesus Christ from our country. Can I say that again? We hear all these politicians saying the United States is a city set upon a hill, bringing light. But if we omit Jesus Christ from our country, we are no city set upon a hill. We are in darkness. You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. Men do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. They set it on a stand where it gives light to all the house. In the same way, your light must shine before men so that they may see your good works and give praise to our Heavenly Father. Oh, yes, we as God's people are called to be that city upon a hill, shedding light to the world, that people that see our good works will glorify God. You see, Paul's way of getting Jewish people to become messianic, giving their lives to Jesus, coming into the church, Paul's way was to make them jealous, to make them jealous of what he had, the way he lived, and the way he acted. Let's look at this scripture again. Anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on rock. And so I continue with the Sermon on the Mount. But as I've said before, it's more the man on the mount than the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but I have come to fulfill them. Of this much I assure you, heaven and earth will pass away, but not the smallest letter of the law, not the smallest part of the letter, shall be done away with until it all comes true. That is why whoever breaks the least significant of these commands and teaches others to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever fulfills and teaches these commands shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your holiness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, yes. Our holiness must surpass the scribes and the Pharisees because our holiness comes from an internal change of a heart of stone being given up
receiving a heart of flesh. Our holiness comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that dwells within our hearts. I'm going to say that again. Our holiness comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who dwells within our hearts. And therefore, we live out what the Holy Spirit is doing within our hearts. You see, the Pharisees seem to be doing everything right, but the ones that Jesus is talking about are those that they wore their long gowns and phylacteries, that many of them did it because other people would notice it. Our holiness comes from the indwelling of the Spirit of God. You have heard the commandment imposed on your forefathers, you shall not commit murder. Every murderer shall be liable to judgment. What I say to you is, everyone who grows angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And any man who uses abusive language toward his brother shall be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And if he holds him in contempt, he risks the fires of Gehenna. When you bring your gift, or if you bring your gift to the altar, and you recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go first to be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Lose no time. Settle with your opponent while on your way to the court with him. Otherwise, your opponent may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to the guard, who will throw you into prison. I warn you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. And I tell you this, my friends, from the beginning, it's Christians against Christians. And you know what? That's a very sad thing, because our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is the devil. Christians against Christians. It's been like that since the time of St. Paul. But our enemy is not my brother Christian or my sister Christian. My enemy is the devil himself. You have heard the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. And what I say to you is, anyone who looks lustfully at a woman, pornography, looks lustfully at a woman, has already committed adultery with her in his thoughts. If your right eye is your trouble, gouge it out and throw it away. Better to lose part of your body than to have it cast into Gehenna. Again, if your right hand is your trouble, cut it off, throw it away. Better to lose part of your body than to have it thrown into Gehenna. The Lord's not thinking about you cutting your eye off or cutting your hand off. He's saying, you know what? If you had to make the choice and you don't, it would be better to lose an eye, because eternity is forever. And so, you see, I know there are so many people that are addicted to pornography. And you need to get on your knees and ask the Lord for purity every single day. Every single day. Every single day. With the internet today, I tell you, it's free, it's accessible, and you don't even have to go someplace to buy something. It's right in front of you. Whipping yourself does no good. Hating yourself does no good. But getting on your knees, asking God to keep you pure, because your heart belongs to Jesus, and you don't want to defile Jesus. It is also said, whenever a man divorces his wife, he must give her a decree of divorce. What I say to you, everyone who divorces his wife, lewd conduct is a separate case, forces her to commit adultery. The man who marries a divorced woman likewise commits adultery. The Lord is not saying that we need to live with people that are abusive. He is not saying that at all. But God hates divorce. The scripture tells us that. It messes up children. It messes up families. It messes up people. That's real. If you know anyone that's been divorced, even though they had to divorce, it still messes up people. We were called to be with a father and a mother. That is the ideal situation. Now, no father and mother are ideal and perfect. We're all messed up. But we were called to have a daddy and a mummy. Not two daddies, not two mummies, but a daddy and a mummy. That's what we have been made for. Divorce is abhorrent. But we also know that if you're living in an abusive situation, it is better to separate because your children will learn to be abusive. But God hates divorce. Do you hear? You can only do the best with what I'm saying, okay? Some people had to divorce, had to separate. But it's not the ideal. It's not the ideal. We hear these movie stars that get married 19 times. Spare me, O God. You have heard the commandment imposed on your forefathers. Do not take a false oath. Rather, make good to the Lord all your pledges. What I tell you is this. Do not swear at all. Do not swear by heaven. It is the throne of God. Nor by the earth, it is the footstool, nor by Jerusalem, it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head. Why? You cannot make a single hair white or black. Say yes when you mean yes, and no when you mean no. Anything beyond that is from the devil. Yes, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't live in the shadows. Don't live in the shadows. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. When you say yes, mean yes. When you say no, mean no. Don't say, well. Let your yes be yes. And your no be no. The rest is from the devil. So we're going to go over this again. Anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on rock. The rainy season set in, the torrents came, and the winds blew and buffeted his house. It didn't collapse because it was solidly built upon rock. You have heard the commandment, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But what I say to you is, offer no resistance to injury. When a person strikes you on the right cheek, turn and offer him the other. If anyone wants to go to law over your shirt, hand him your coat as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the man who begs from you. Do not turn your back on the borrower. And you have heard the commandment, you shall love your countrymen and hate your enemy. My command to you is love your enemies. Pray for your persecutors. This will prove that you are sons of your heavenly Father. Why? Because the Father lets the sun, S-U-N, rise on the bad and the good. The Father lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Love your enemies. Pray for your persecutors. If you love those who love you, what merit is that to you? Do not tax collectors do as much? And if you greet your brothers only, what is so praiseworthy about that? Do not the pagans do as much? In a word, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, or you must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. Yes, he makes the sun rise on the good and the bad, and the rain falls on the good and the bad, the just and the unjust. Love your enemies. Pray for your persecutors. I tell you, that is what we need to do. Is it difficult at times? Oh, at times it's very difficult to love those who hate you. It is very difficult. It is very difficult. Doesn't mean you need to be in their company. It means you need to pray for them. Need to pray for them. Need to pray for them. Doesn't mean you need to be with them. You know, if they're an occasion of sin for you, you stay away from them. Chapter 6. Be on guard against performing religious acts for people to see, otherwise expect no recompense from your Heavenly Father. When you give alms, not if you give alms, for example, do not blow a horn before you in synagogues and streets like the hypocrites looking for applause. Listen now. Giving alms is more than tithing. Almsgiving has to do with, after I've given my tithe, I then give alms, gifts and alms. You understand what I'm saying? And I know that people have not yet caught the reality of giving the Lord the tenth. I know Catholics have not caught that reality for the most part. There are some that have. Just let me tell you what happened the other day. Our collections have been going down. Okay? They have been going down at the Holy Rosary. I know things are bad. People aren't putting in what they could put in or what they should put in. They're afraid. We had a missionary priest, so I made out a $500 check for the missionary priest for the people in the Philippine Islands, or Honduras, where Father John is, okay? 2 days later, I open an envelope from somebody who doesn't even come to church. Blessed be God. But I love this person. $500 check. And then a couple of days later, $300 came in cash that I wasn't expecting for the church. And then yesterday, I was told by Glenn, our bookkeeper, we're getting an extra $1,500. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make another $500 check out for the poor. See, we feed the poor every day. That's not true. We feed the poor every Saturday. Just the other day, 120 pounds of chicken was made. Tomorrow, they'll be making chicken salad and tuna fish salad and egg salad and peanut butter and jelly and everything like that and cakes and cookies. But the Lord says you've got to give at least the tithe. And, you know, I was starting to pull in the reins, saying, well, people aren't coming. And I wasn't doing what I'm telling other people to do. For the church, I do it with my own money, but not for the church. But I was starting with the church again. Listen, because you see, if I don't release that money, the Lord won't release what's coming to us by grace. And that's the way it is. Okay, it's enough for now, but I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue this. And it says, anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on a rock. And he was talking about the Sermon on the Mount. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Am I a blessed man that God gives me the ability to preach the gospel to people like you? I don't even know who's listening. Am I not a blessed man? Oh, it's a responsibility, but I have access to your house. I have access to your car. I have access not only to your car or house, I have access to your heart, because when I speak the word of God, the Holy Spirit touches the heart. It would be a good thing for us to read chapter 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew's gospel and read the last segment of chapter 7, which talks about building a house on the rock on the words of Jesus. But first, again, we need to build our house on Jesus and his words, on Jesus Christ the Lord, who is our solid rock, on Jesus Christ the Lord, who is the only mediator between God and man, on Jesus Christ our Lord, who is Messiah, King, and the King of glory, on Jesus Christ our Lord, who will come again in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. Listen, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. It's December now, and I need to hear from people so we can pay our November bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You can go to the World Wide Web and you can give a gift on PayPal, www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net. Also, you can go to www.inseason.net and see all of our television programs and hear all of our radio programs. The one on drugs has been a real winner for people that really love that one. So www.inseason.net. And the weather has been beautiful, and Jimmy is doing a roof today, and it's going to be 60 on the weekend. And Jimmy can be called, and he will do it and do it well. 617-519-0341. Jimmy the Roofer, 617-519-0341. When I was at the conference, somebody said, "Is Jimmy the Roofer here?" I said, "No, he's not." 617-519-0341. Jesus Christ is Lord. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.